Welcome to episode of WoW Geekly, a weekly podcast about the World of Warcraft with a streak of geek. This episode was recorded on
Wednesday,
the
10th
of
October
2013. Please remain as you are and let your auditory receptors give a warm, geekly welcome to your hosts, Asheo and Jeppy.
Welcome to WoW Geekly, the weekly, I've got to say this really carefully because I screwed it up the first time I did it. Welcome to WoW Geekly, the weekly World of Warcraft podcast with a streak of geek. Was that right?
That's it, spot on.
And with me this week, as always, and we're into eight episodes now, so I can pretty much use the word always. Is the 8 foot 10 streak of geek, Asheo, in the corner. Let's get ready to podcast.
How are you, mate?
I didn't do the right intonation then, did I?
That was pretty close.
I think I'm going to call this episode Fending Off Doctors Dead Cat.
Oh.
No, we're not dead. He's not dead yet. He's hanging in there. I should say. I'm preempting what is likely to happen, unfortunately.
Well, one-eyed cats aren't famed to live too long.
No. We're not sure what did it. I should explain probably that our foundling, Meow Meow, Furman Meow, disappeared for a couple of days and then staggered back in with basically half his face ripped off, and his left eye kind of all closed up and gooped up and bloodied.
Ouchie.
And although he wasn't very happy with the idea, we did try and clean him up as much as we could. But he's taking a bit of a turn for the worse, really. He's not eating. He's sort of just lying there, lethargic, which I would be doing as well if something had
cut my face off. Someone gouged at my eye. I think I'd be lying there feeling a little lethargic as well.
Yeah, so we're waiting on a visit to the vet.
I'm not
overly confident. I think the vet's either going to say, well, we're going to have to, because there's something in there. It's like his eye is in there somewhere because there's a lump on the side of his face. It may well be his eyeball.
And that's no good. So,
trying to prepare the family for the inevitable.
They might be able to clean it out. And really bad segue here, Yuri. They might be able to clean it out and you could buy a little mini magic eight ball to put in there.
And shake the cat.
Shake the cat.
Where you live.
Hey, cat.
Unlike.
Oh, that's terrible.
It is terrible. I'm glad that I've asked my children to leave the room while I podcast. Because sadly, they are pretty devastated. Oh. But,
It's a family pet.
These things happen.
Even though it's a stray.
Yes. Unfortunately, where we live is completely. I mean, it's. We're a bit away from farmland, and there's foxes and all sorts out there. So,
oh, the foxes swim out to the island.
Some of them actually grew up here. Some of them are actual islanders. All the foreign foxes we oust off the island.
Right. Yeah.
We're the only place in the UK that has a native population still of red squirrels.
Oh.
I think it's the way it goes. So on the mainland, now this it may be the other way around because I'm not very up on this, but on the mainland, there's nothing but grey squirrels. And the grey squirrel is an incomer. And the incomer came and basically wiped out the red squirrel. And so here on the island, we have the only remaining indigenous squirrel, the red squirrel. Hmm. And in fact, I don't know if it's a law or bylaw, it's some sort of law, that if you see a grey squirrel, you're allowed to kill it because it shouldn't be here on the island. It must have hopped on the ferry and came over or had a bloody good long swim.
Piggybacked on a dolphin.
May well have done back on a dolphin. But it shouldn't be here. And if the grey squirrel gets a foothold on the island, then it'll wipe out the red squirrel.
Yeah, No, you don't want that.
It's a whole War of the Squirrels situation going on.
Fair enough.
By the by, and then the other thing I'm having to do is fend off my freaking doctor, who seems to be oblivious of the fact that I've only got a few days left of my recruitment friend.
Oh, didn't you explain it to him?
No, he seems to think that...
End of the RAF? Don't even think about it.
Yeah. He seems to think that keeping me alive is more important than me getting those last 4 days in. But no, actually, it's not that serious, but it's annoying. It's annoying. But he keeps phoning up and saying, well, we have a bed here, we have a bed there. And I say, well, listen, it hasn't changed.
Not till Monday, sunshine. Not till Monday.
I can't tell him. I can't actually tell him that it's because I'm playing a video game. In fact, subconsciously, I think I may have attacked the cat. So I've got an excuse.
I've got to stay here and look after the cat.
So
episode 8, number 8. What do you reckon? What's top of your pops for your list of favourite things about 8, mate? Ain't it great? Well,
you were upset that we didn't get to cancel this week's episode.
That's right. I could have come up with a whole poem with 8. Sorry we're late. It was fate.
Number 8. you're going to think of something for 9, probably. But anyway, 8. So I would be remiss with my historical hat on not to mention old Henry the VIII.
Henry the VIII. Oh, got a song after him and all.
He does, yeah. Famous for his 6 wives. No wonder he was grumpy. I don't know. Did that. And actually, I was listening to something the other day. I think it was one of these BBC In Our Time history type programs, BBC Radio. And they were saying just how amazing history is and how things just will flip around just because of you know, very small events. Henry VIII was the second son. His brother, Arthur, which is obviously a historical name and one that we've never actually had a proper king, at least not outside of legend, called Arthur, would have been king. He was Henry's older brother. And he was the first person to marry Catherine of Aragon, who was Henry's wife after his brother passed away. His brother died of, he was quite a weakly person, died at age 15. And the entire, and because Arthur would have married Catherine of Aragon and not been unhappy with that marriage, the whole history of England would have changed, in as much as that there would be no falling out of the church, and that instead of being a Protestant country, we would be a Catholic country, more than likely. You're not sure what the vagaries of history would do. But one of the arguments that Henry made in order to get rid of Catherine of Aragon and therefore marry Anne Boleyn was that Catherine had already been married to his brother, and he subsequently, after about 20 years, it took him a while to work this out, thought that it was God's punishment that they weren't having a son born to them. So that was his religious excuse.
Mm.
Yes, Henry VIII.
The little things that weave the world the way it is.
Yeah.
And of course, I am sure. There's the, as you've mentioned, it is a lucky number in Chinese. Did you look up why the Chinese consider it to be lucky?
What part of, I've only got a few days of math, do you understand?
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Well, I did.
Did you?
I did.
Yeah. Good.
The Chinese think it's lucky because it sounds like the word for prosper or to gain wealth. Yeah, fairly simple reason. I guess I'd be favourite. I'd like a number if it rhymed with, hey, do you want a big bucket of gold?
But you what came first, though? I don't understand that.
The golden egg.
Nope. The golden chicken or the golden egg. Yeah. No, but, I mean, the word for prosper... So, anyway, don't worry about it. It's just one of those things that will go down this awful avenue that we're not going to get out.
Yeah, we'll take our way out of it eventually, but... probably not that long.
No.
And there's plenty of other things, you know, as I mentioned before, the magic eight ball.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, chemistry geeks would know that 8 is the atomic number for oxygen. We wouldn't be doing too well without oxygen. That's some pretty good stuff.
That is good stuff.
Yeah.
quite high number for something so important.
Yeah, you'd reckon it'd be number one. Although hydrogen is probably pretty useful as well. Mix a bit of it with oxygen and you make some good stuff.
Yeah.
My favorite joke regarding the number eight. What did the zero say to the eight?
I don't know.
Nice belt.
tight belt.
That's right.
you've been reading that.
Takes a while. Takes a while. Yeah.
to picture the eight. that same website that Kim was on the other week.
Yeah, possibly. worldscrappiestjokes.com. But of course, the math. That's what I'm all about, the math. And a couple of things about eight. Well, I know people are dying to know how you figure out whether a number is divisible by eight. That's a lot easier than seven, you'll be happy to know. A number is divisible by eight if the last three digits in the number is also divisible by eight. Quite a bit easier to work out. You don't have to worry about if it's a 16-digit number. Just look at the last three digits. You'll be right. Figure it out. Lickety split.
That's even quite hard. That's quite hard.
Well, not really. You can do some bit of division in your head and figure it out. But I like eight because it's the base eight octal system used in computers. In the very early computers were based on 8-bit operating system. And of course, yeah, everybody knows the 8-bit memes and 8-bit stuff that goes around.
Was 8-bit the first one then? There was no 4-bit?
Pretty much 8-bit was the first one. Your PDP-8s and all those sorts of things. And even today, I mean, it still persists. When people talk about megabytes and gigabytes and terabytes now that everybody talks about, I don't know if anybody actually thinks about what a byte is, but a byte is actually 8 bits.
Mm.
Whereas a bit is, either a zero or one, flip it on or off.
Mm.
So 8 made sense for computers where 10 didn't, because if you add bits, you got 3 bits together, you can make 0 through 7 on those bits. If you add an extra bit, it's going to go past 10, and you're wasting bits. So base 10, very useless numbering system in computers. So that's why they started with base 8. And it's if you're a Linux user, you're probably still using it today. If you think about commands like chmod to change.
Thinking about that.
Yeah, I was just thinking about chmod the other day. Changing permissions on files. If you're doing that with numbers, then you're working in octal there, whether you know it or not.
You don't know how close I came to calling my first kid chmod. I mean,
oh yeah,
it's first really was
chmod, and then their older brother chroot.
Chroot
and Chione. Yeah. Yep.
Well, Chione's a girl's name, obviously.
Obviously, yeah.
Chmod's a boy's name. Yeah. So this is why when we do things like hard drives, they actually, when they say, oh, it's 1024, it's 2048.
Yep.
That's all the eight. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'm going to get, I'm certain you definitely earned your what a geek, because that was well.
A bit of effort into this week.
90% of that, 99% of people didn't understand a word you said, which certainly gets you the stamp of what a geek. But interesting.
There's so many great things about number eight. I'm sure there's very obvious things that I missed, and someone will write in and go, you forgot about blah, 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 blah.
I'm sure there's some mess to it. Because I don't know, do you read the Terry Pratchett books?
I did many, many years ago.
Well, eight is big in those because it's the colour of magic. It's the eighth colour.
Oh.
They're constantly referring to number eight. But I think Terry Pratchett is a bit of a computer geek as well, so
he may well have maybe a tad of influence there.
Mm. But interesting. Yeah. I was trying to think of jokes that involve the word eating. Like at this time of year, people keep saying, "I ate too much candy," and I'm like, "Bro, it's silly." So.
Oh, oh, oh. That's because
we haven't all the time.
That's because you got to 89 and you've been just been running the headless horseman over and over, and he's been chucking candy at you. That's the reason why that is, isn't it?
Well, let me just say this. Last time we spoke, which I believe was episode 7, I need to check my notes, but I believe it was. You complained because you said, "Oh, I got my panda to 87. And I said, "Well, you could have got it to 77. You could tell people you didn't have to go there." Now, I've left my warlock at 88. So this week I can say my warlock is still 88. There you
right.
go.
Right. Okay.
I just thought of that. It's nothing to do with Bath or my pure laziness.
Even though you're sitting. Well done. You know what we forgot to do last week?
What?
We forgot to draw Matter's prize of the armored bloodwing draw.
We did. We did. And we're very sorry to Matter and the two people that entered.
Yes. So they, unfortunately for them, they've other people got around to listening and deciding that to enter, because two was just too good a number to pass up. So we've got a few more entries.
A double entry. Lighthearted.
No, I stripped that. He didn't need to tweet us again, but he did. Good lad. But no, there was no double entries. But put them all into...
It's not that kind of show, mate.
Sorry. Not single digits. Maybe, you know, once we get up into the teens. See how we go. Anyway, this is the long way around of saying we've drawn a winner. And the winner is Alana Faye 8.
Now, that is a bit spooky.
That is a bit spooky. People might think I rigged that. No. I put all the names into a Google spreadsheet and asked Molly to give me a random number. And that was Alana Faye 8.
Alana Faye 8. Episode who's currently 8. Going by the name of Alana Frayed dash Kendra.
Yeah, or maybe next week she might change her Twitter handle to Alana Faye 9 and see what she can win.
I wonder if it says Alana Fate. No? Is that right? No. Alana Fade. Oh, no, Alana Fate. No, it's Fate, isn't it?
Well, oh, yeah, you could say Fate.
If you just roll it.
If you just roll it all together. Fate. Fate. It could be. Could be that.
Need to thank Matterhorn.
Thanks, Matter.
Yeah, great guy. Hmm. And I hope Alana Fate enjoys her armoured bloodwing as much as I would have enjoyed it if I'd have stolen it in time. Actually, I already have one. You don't have one, do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah, so that was tempting.
Yeah, very. But anywho, let's move on.
Thanks to all those that entered.
Yeah. Thanks for playing. So besides Raph, have you actually done anything this week? Oh, I know you've done something because we did it together, but... So why don't you fill us in? Catch us up. You've only got a few days to go. Your doctor's trying to waylay you. You're calling vets. You're wasting time podcasting.
I know.
I'm sure you've got to eat and sleep some time. I don't know how you're finding any time to do RAF. What's happening, mate? Catch us up.
It isn't. There's also loads of TV to watch. Although, I have to say, thanks to you and Kim and a few other people, no episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week.
Wasn't there? Oh, I'm a couple behind. So I did bite the bullet and watch another episode. And it was the episode where an agent had been taken and basically being used as a puppet.
Yeah.
someone's got such great cyborg technology that they can implant somebody with that sort of technology, and they don't include any audio, and B,
that was the oversight.
The controller's got no peripheral vision at all to see that there's a guy's hands that are white that are choking the guard, and not a black woman's. My God.
Oh, for goodness sake.
The plot holes is just...
You're such a nitpicker. Tiny, tiny little thing.
I'm watching it now just to sit there and laugh and go, oh my God. But it's people, all right, I am kind
people,
of
people studios
I
hate
am kind
people
of
like
enjoying
you.
It.
So you didn't like it at all? You didn't? That was a good episode, I thought.
No, I thought that was actually a pretty good episode. You know, apart from the massive plot holes, a pretty good episode.
Stop with the plot holes already. It's not supposed to be have. It's not supposed to have a solid plot. It's not supposed to carry water. No, I enjoyed the episode. I enjoyed that episode. And I enjoyed the one after that as well. So hopefully you will too.
I'll let you know about that one next week then.
Although I don't know. I don't know. I get this nasty feeling that someone over the executives are also thinking this show cost us a lot of money to make.
And we're just getting banged on a lot.
Yeah. Mm. And they're getting really smacked about, which is a shame. It's their big, big show. But anyway, we're not here to talk about TV.
No, it's
we?
Not the Duvet Although, Cave.
I could do a couple of hours.
I know you're Duvet Cave. But,
well, currently the Duvet Cave is being winterized. I'm increasing the TOG value of the Duvet Cave. It's currently only got the summer duvet on there. So it's going to have to go to the winter duvet.
Mm.
I'm not sure how long that's going to take, but there we go. That's the Duvet Cave for you. So let's get on to a little bit of WoW. Yes, shockingly enough, I have been scrambling to try and do as much as I can in the slight amount of days I have left, and those days are being attacked from all sides by other things, which is beyond annoying and quite hard to explain to other people. I say to them, listen, I can't help you bury that cat.
No.
I can't go across to the mainland to see some ridiculous cardiologist. I need to get this RAF done. How many days do I have left? I suppose we discussed this, and you said supposedly it's going to have to be Sunday.
I think it's 5. Right.
Oh, God. It's ticking away, and I'm wasting time talking on the podcast. But I hit one goal, which is that I wanted to get at least one team to the end of their RAF ability, which is level 80.
Right.
Actually, as we've discussed many, many, many times in the past, you can use RAF right up to 80.99.
Yep.
Now, you can't... the actual triple XP stops dead on 80. As soon as you hit 80, it stops. But you are able to receive one level at 80.99, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
So
you grind it out to there and then apply a level.
Yeah. So basically, then you only have to kill one animal and then you're at 82. So that's pretty good.
Hmm.
At least you can do that on...
Sorry, go on. I was going to do a spoiler and jump ahead. I'll just shut up.
I was just going to say that at least you can do... obviously, the way that a chain of counselling together works is that the one at the end of the chain that is giving up the levels gets no ability to receive levels. So that one will always sit... that will always be behind the team.
Yeah. That'll be the one that you toss into a dungeon with us to try and catch it up.
Yeah, more than likely.
Mm.
I'll just toss it into a dungeon.
Yeah.
I might just close that account down and not use it again, which is more than likely going to happen. So I've got one team to 80. That, so shockingly enough, and I don't know if you'd be surprised by this, was the Hunter team.
Oh, what a shock.
By far, and look, I don't think this needs explaining, but by far the easiest to level.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. I know sometimes you think, well, maybe pure hit, your warlocks or your mages are giving out a lot more DPS on the first hit, so you don't need to do too much with them. But actually, the hunters just slice everything.
Hunter's got auto shot. You can't beat auto shot.
You can't. Although the others do. If you equip a wand, if you equip a wand on a mage or a warlock, or indeed anyone can hold a wand, you get.
I'm not sure that I've done that since vanilla, but yeah, that is a good point.
No, and a lot of the times when I've gone on to choose a weapon, I haven't chosen the wand. Although, technically speaking, assuming the stats aren't too disgustingly different.
They're supposed to be a substitute weapon now that there's no actual wand slot.
Yeah, exactly.
They're supposed to be comparable.
They're supposed to be stats-wise.
I'm still heavily biased towards staves.
Oddly enough, the warlocks seem to prosper better with something odd like a dagger. Or for a while, they were running around with swords. Because if your warlock is doing melee, something's gone hideously wrong. So it's all pure stat, isn't it? There's no there's no actual intrinsic value to the actual weapon.
Well, it's just that if you're just whacking on stuff in melee, then it's the DPS of the weapon.
Yeah, but who? If you're doing that, then something's gone wrong, isn't it? You shouldn't be whacking anything.
No, that's right. I mean, in all honesty, if your warlock's going up to something and whacking it with a sword.
Exactly. So as long as the stats are equivalent, then you don't. Then, as far as I can tell, there's no difference. And you should always choose a wand, even if you're losing a tiny little bit, I'd say, because of the distance. I don't know. Maybe just a mana filler. Not that the warlocks ever had any mana problems. So that should say that the second team that is heading towards level 18 is currently sat on level 68, I think, or maybe 69, are the warlock team.
Very good.
The other two teams sadly lagging behind in the 40s, the druids and the mages. Of all the teams, I would say, given the experience I've had over the last couple of weeks, the mages are the worst team.
Really? Even with your water elemental?
Even with your frosty, yeah. They're just, I don't know, there's something, I don't know whether it may not be the same with a solo mage versus a solo warlock, hunter or druid, but with a team, it certainly is. And I'm not sure what it is. The initial hit doesn't seem to take out mobs instantly, which on the other teams it does do.
And the
water element doesn't seem to hold focus.
Your frost mage is more about survivability and snaring and escaping and stuff than a big hit like your fire mage.
And in some ways, I would have probably gone down the fire mage route with a three-man team, because if you can take out the mob in the first hit, it doesn't matter how many shields you have, because the mob's dead. It's not.
And also, I wonder if you could, given that if something's attacking you and you're doing the same spell on all three, there's no point in you doing three ice trap thingies. You might as well just have one. So could you line things up so that you had one frost and two fire mages?
Yeah, you certainly could.
And cast comparable spells.
It's not a bad idea. In the past, because the starting attack for the mage, I think in any spec, is frost fire.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your.
But you don't, call that you my don't get that well. Until high level, or have they changed that? You don't get frost no, fire until much higher level now, do you? Or you get it
no,
low?
You get that out of the box.
Oh.
I believe.
Sure. I'm going to have to go level another mage.
You get that out of the box, and actually your frost bolt and your fire bolt are later on, whereas they used to be out of the box early.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a bit different these days. But
it's interesting just, how they flip that stuff around and tweak what you get and when. I was going to chat a little bit later about the baby warlocks and how they work as well.
Yeah, there's definitely some changes there. And stuff that I'm looking for is just not there, having done them in the past.
Mm.
Like I said last week, unfortunately, with doing Recruit a Friend, and also I mentioned that this is a side project for a lot of people, but for me, it's been something I've really, really focused on. And I'm really enjoying getting my teeth into the Alliance side of things. I ran out of money. I didn't have very much gold to start with because I had to transfer it. Well, I didn't have to, but I transferred it all back to Earthen Ring so that we could carry on doing the warlocks over there, the 80-plus mm-hmm. warlocks
yep.
over there. I left behind not very much, 800-900 gold, I think, was spread around a few characters, and there was a little bit in some of the banks. And not very much, anyway. So,
what's it all gone on? Just flight?
Flying.
Training, yeah.
No training, which is fantastic.
Yeah, flight training, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, your flight training. Yeah. The first two, you know, I managed to use the money that they'd earned, kind of. Although I think I actually sent it over 40 gold or something to each of them. Plus a few bags, that cost a bit of money. And also, but then when you hit 60 and you go into Outland, no way I'm doing Outland on foot. No. That's just not going to happen. Forget about that. So you go ahead and you go and buy your flying. Boom! That's a chunk of change. That's like, I can't remember what it was, but it was a lot. It was more than I had.
Yeah. So imagine if you were starting, well, I mean, effectively you were, but imagine people that are starting the game afresh. You zip through 0 to 60 so fast And unless you go heavy on professions, you're not going to make much gold. People just aren't going to have to afford to buy their mount at 58, 60.
No, I don't. I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean, you'd have to go heavy on professions. You'd have to be selling everything you found.
Yeah.
You'd skinning. You'd be herbing. You'd be mining. I guess. I mean, all I'm doing is skinning. I would like to do the other gathering professions as I go, but sadly, they earn XP, and we all know that I don't like to earn XP on one and not the other. So.
Well, you could do them. You could have them all mine.
Yeah, I know, but it's not. That sounds like a reasonable idea, but it's a real pain in the ass to do.
Mm.
Because you focus on one lead character mainly.
Sure.
And the other two are just peripheral.
Yeah. Tagging along for the ride.
Yeah. And in my current setup, it isn't so hard because I can just move the mouse to the other screen, move the mouse to the other screen, and mine and whoever will do whatever. But it's just nice to have one central character that's doing the skinning. And then everything gets skinned. There's not.
It'd be nice if they had a like you've got loot rules in groups. It'd be nice if they had XP rules, so you could say, yeah, any XP that I earn, whether it be from mining or perbing or whatever else that I might do, that's not a mob fight that gains XP, that XP gets spread amongst the group rather than just for me.
That would be nice. I don't think they do it. You know, initially, I'm sure you remember this, initially, everybody got some XP from the mine or the herb. It was only lasted a few days until Blizzard went, whoa, hang on. That's not supposed to happen.
Right.
And then for a while, there was the exploit where you tap the mine and get the XP, but don't actually mine it. You turn your auto loot off. And then your next cat could tap the mine, get the XP.
Oh, that doesn't work anymore.
No.
Oh.
It does not.
Why did that? That's a pain. That's what I meant. Us. That's what I meant for you to do when I said make them all mining.
Oh yeah, no, it doesn't work anymore.
Hmm.
Not sure. I guess they got a bit annoyed. Yeah. Once it's taken away all the little tricks. What it does is it flashes, and basically it's almost like you've skinned something but not left, given it enough time to collect it. So the skin is on the creature. So right. You can go back, you can get a bit of ore, but no one else can. It's not. So it's a real, that's a pain. But what also is a pain as well, one thing I did discover, or have discovered in the past, but I thought I could get around it somehow, was treasure chests. Because treasure chests, once you get past a certain level, give XP. And they don't give just a little bit of XP, they give an absolute crap ton of XP.
Chunky.
30, 40, 50,000 XP out in Northrend and to a certain extent, not Outland, but Northrend definitely. One character gets it. Of course, the treasure chest disappears. You're 50,000 ahead of the team. You start to cry.
Bum, bum.
And then you say to yourself, well, what I'll do is the first character get the treasure chest. Next treasure chest comes on, the same cats get it. You try and do that.
Belts are all
different amounts of XP.
Never works.
I don't know what decides how much XP each treasure chest gets, but it's not the same. And then you get into this horrible situation where you're saying...
They're doing it just to stuff with you.
Yeah, of course they are. Of course they are. Blizzard are watching me very carefully. And you get into this horrible situation where you say, well, okay, I'll get two of them to complete this quest... And that's worth 32,000. So I'll get them to hand that one in, but not the middle one. Oh, and it gets a right old cock up. So yeah, it's a bit of a nightmare. Generally having an enjoyable time.
And you've got your spreadsheet all set to figure out who's going to get what levels on Sunday.
To a degree, yeah. Although, if I get the Warlock team to level 80, which I should do, hopefully. By tomorrow, then what I might do, and it's a little bit, everything I'm doing is a little bit cheaty, I guess. Not really, it's not cheaty because let you do it, but it feels a little bit cheaty. What I might do is take just the tag two, the two that are on the end of the chain, with a level 90 for a few dungeons.
Right.
Because they don't, just like the beginning of the chain can't give levels. So the leveling's, you know, anyway, it's all palaver, but yeah, so that might be easier. But I haven't worked out exactly what to do at the tail end of it. First goal is get those to 80.
Yeah.
And then at the very least, I'm going to end up with 10 level 80s because I'll have enough gear back.
Nice.
What I was saying about this money thing. So I said I couldn't afford the. I thought, geez, I'm not going to be able to do another team flying. I can't do it. I've done the hunters. I managed to pay with what I had, but I'm not going to be able to do the warlocks. So I said, stuff this. I'm going to have to get some money over. And of course, you hit that hideous, ridiculous, stupid cap of just the 50,000.
Yep.
Just the 50,000. So I thought to myself, piddling amount. I'll fill me bank up.
I read something today actually that. And I had a thought about it, probably would have realized that this was the case, but the free character transfers that they offer to get off high pop realms don't have a gold cap.
You transfer everything. You just
transfer everything. So it's like,
makes sense.
So, I mean, you know, the code's all there. Why just go, just use that code? This is 50,000 is ridiculous.
I wonder if the free transfer thing will start to stop now that all this connected realm thing's going on.
Well, let's have a chat about that in News, Blues and Views.
You certainly will. But let me just finish my money story. So, 50,000, that's not going to be enough to keep a fully fledged team over on the Alliance side.
That's a bit of flying and a couple of pets.
It goes quickly. It does seem a lot of money to some people, but that will go boom, especially if you've got 10 level 80s that you want to then gear up and then go out to move them all the way up to 90. That's going to go quickly. Although I'm going to be making money, obviously, on those teams as they move up to 90, but still not enough to cover everything I want to spend on. So I've filled up the bank with loads of stuff like, you know, leather and stuff that looked like it was selling well on Airy Peak.
You're right.
And then I thought, well, I'll buy a couple of big ticket items to bring over as well. And the big ticket item at the moment, as you know only too well, is the Sky Golem.
Love me Sky Golem.
What's it? It's going for about 40K, I believe, still.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Mm. And I saw that there was not a huge disparity between what a Sky Golem was, but I could buy one for on Earthen Ring and sell for over on Airy Peak. So I bought two of those.
As you do.
As you do. So I'm thinking to myself, well, that's... what's that, 130,000?
Jolly good.
Although after the auction house takes its vicious, nasty cut, I was about 3,000 in the pit, thanks to the auction house cut, which is a bit annoying. There you go. And then the second one, I think because the weekend was coming to the end, kind of sat there for a wee while. And I was out and about, and I saw a few of them moving around. And I thought, oh, you know, geez.
They look good.
So I took it off the auction house and learnt it. I don't know if you saw my tweet picture of the three gnomes sat in their sky columns.
Yeah.
It is an absolutely freaking amazing mount.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing mount.
It's pretty cool.
And the way it flies, it kind of jogs from side to side, doesn't it?
You wouldn't want to have to be doing any accurate flying on it. It kind of waves all over the place.
It really does this weird spin.
Yeah. That's really, I mean, and if you stand still and you jump, it does a pretty cool animation as well.
Yeah, and I tried the underwater thing you said, you know, going underwater and it's turning into the propellers.
I actually thought of another thing that would be absolutely awesome for it to do. You know how out in the Timeless Isle people are doing mind fart, can't remember the name of the whale, chasing the whale, and most of them are people are on their angler's raft or, you know, they're using water walking. I think the Sky Golem should, transformer itself into a boat. That would be wicked.
It's got a lot of potential. It really is an absolute sweet.
Yeah.
And at first I thought, one problem you have when you have when you're using three characters is if you're on any sort of flying mount, normally what you end up seeing most of the time is the insides of the flying mount,
mm-hmm.
of the other characters, yeah. because of the way the screen works.
Yeah.
And I thought that it's going to be an absolute nightmare with three sky golems because they're huge.
They're huge, yeah.
The thing's absolutely freaking massive. No, not at all. It looks fantastic. Because of the way that the sky golem sort of swerves from side to side, they're not in parallel with each other most of the time.
Oh, okay.
And they occasionally when it does that weird flip.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. So I spent a bit of time flying around Goldshire, and I had a couple of hangers-on who followed me everywhere. And then when I finally gave up and I had enough, I had as much fun as I was going to have, I sat and bowed to them and said, you know, you should pay me for that show. That was really good, wasn't it?
That's right. Back at the mailbox no dancing. Money was forthcoming. How about my sky golem acrobatics?
Yeah, no, I'm very impressed, especially with the little gnome sat in the control center of the sky golem.
Awesome.
So I've got everything geared up. I got some money. I got me teams heading in the right direction. And I suppose we'll see what happens on Sunday.
Mm.
Probably get to Sunday and I'll say, no, shit, it was the 2nd of November.
Oh.
Then you won't ever see me again.
Nah. Then you'll be
I'll be done.
You'll be sad.
I'll be super sad, yeah. Mm. No, I think it's... Anyway, geez, that's like a good 2 hours. Yeah. What about yourself?
All righty. Well, we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Yeah. What have I done this week? Well, last week I talked about my issue with the Timeless Isle Epics and I know there's things I could do, like I could send all the cloth stuff to my enchanter and turn it into cloth and disenchant it. But, you know, I'm still leveling clothies, so, you know, could use it. And also I've got clothies that might get a burden, which means I could upgrade something. So I don't want to, you know, I want to hang on to it and destroy it, not destroy it. So I thought I'll take your advice and plonk it all and set up a guild vault. So as I said last week, I don't have a free toon that I can just create another guild. And I thought, it's not, you know, it's a fair chunk of gold, but it's the hassle of doing this mail back and forth is just too much of a hassle. So I'm just going to go and buy another tab and stick it all in there. So I went and bought my tab and collected all my mails, sent all the mail to my... I bought the tab on my two accounts. So I got a banker on each account. So I bought the... You know, they're all in... They've got their own guild. So I bought both of those guilds and mailed all the... Went logged into all my toons and got all the junk out of the mail and sent it all to my bankers. Logged into my bankers and made some space in their bags to get it out of the mail. Ran over to the guild vault. You can't deposit account bound items into the guild vault.
Mm-hmm.
Probably should have thought about more about what it was that you were suggesting to me. Clearly wasn't that.
No, not at all. What it was suggesting was that you put all your junk, well, not your junk, but stuff that you may need in the future. And I don't know about you, but I've got tons of crap that I might just need at some stage.
Yeah.
That isn't soulbound. Slap it all in the guild bank tab and then free up your own bank tab for your timeless. As well as giving you the ability to look at it on various things like Altaholic. So you know what you got, where it is.
Yeah. Well, I can do that already. Altaholic already says, it's in the mail of that tune over there. I'm like,
Yeah, but does it tell you what there's certain stuff in guild banks? I guess it does. Isn't it?
Yeah. Carbonite gun. Yeah, it covers everything. Yeah, it's awesome like that. Love Altaholic. So I ended up having to. I did figure out. Oh, okay. So I've taken everything that wasn't soulbound and taken it out of my personal bank on my bankers and put everything I could into the guild vault, and then went and bought bloody 800 gold bags to stick in my bankers' bank to pull it all out and stuff it in. So I think, yeah, I think this exercise of trying to...
800 gold bags?
Trying to save the 70 silver, the 70 copper. How much does it cost to mail an item per attachment?
A few copper? 30 copper.
30 copper?
30 copper per item.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm probably spending...
That's up.
I'm probably spending like 50 silver whenever I send it back and forth. But instead, I think I must have spent about 10,000 gold on bags and guild vaults. So, oh well, there you go.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand. Please tell me you haven't got 22 slots on Elden Ring full of stuff you cannot re-guild. Catch, you can't re-guild. That's not possible.
Yeah, I do.
It's crazy. You need to sort that out, mate. Well, get it would have been cheaper to get a third account.
But that costs real money.
That's real money. That is true. That is real.
And then I ended up freezing. I wouldn't be able to get the stuff out again.
Yeah, this is true.
Never mind. But as I was staring at the character selection screen and trying to figure out, well, is there actually something I can do, and can I do the purge?
No.
And I was actually looking at my character selection screen, and a thought occurred to me, because I can't remember where, but a few people in recent times have discussed reordering the characters. You know, in, I don't even know when they added that. Was that in Cataclysm? They added the ability to reorder your characters on the character load screen.
It was definitely before Pandalab.
Yeah, it was before Mists. So, am I the only one that, for sentimental or stupid reasons that I can't quite put my finger on, have refused to change the order of any of your characters on your load selection screen?
Kim says her. She's done that. I'm sure there's a few other sad people out there.
Oh,
but I'm not one of those people.
Yeah. So you're a shuffler. So how do you order your characters on the selection screen?
Initially by level. Okay. So all my 90s are at the top. But like, for instance, at the moment when I've got three accounts that are involved in a recruiter friend, then I make sure that all the warlocks aligned, all the hunters aligned, you know, the teams are lined up.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's true.
But normally by level. And then on accounts that are much older, that already have all 90s, then I normally go... There's a certain sentimentality, in as much as that, say, for instance, on my Earthen Ring account, my Hunter White is always at the top because he's ostensibly my main character.
Yep.
But then as I move down, it'll be either in order. Maybe there'll be a team of warlocks, or sometimes, like I was setting up a kill team for the Timeless Isle, they'll be in a line.
A lot of it is to do with, it's more of a chronological reminder for me as to when I created things and what came first. So I'd probably be much more inclined to shuffle them around if there was a little tag on each character that says when it was created. I'd like that. That shouldn't be too hard. Get on it, Blizzard. Get on it!
I was very happy when they did do the allowance to make you move them around, because the annoying thing was that if I create, sometimes when I was doing reffing, I would create a character in the middle that would be a bank character or something that wasn't necessarily going to be in a team,
right?
And then they wouldn't line up. I'd be like, OCD about the whole thing. Yeah,
understood.
Drove me crazy.
Yeah. And unlike you, I did jump on my 87 monk this week. And
hey,
hang
on a second. I jumped on my 88 warlock.
Oh, only after I dragged you by the ear. Come on, sunshine.
And scream.
Yeah. But I actually did some leveling on mine. Jumped on my monk.
Oh. Okay.
Healed some dungeons.
Wow.
Did some pet battles. Went through 88 and sacrificed the fact that this was episode 8 and I'd have a monk at 88. No.
Yeah,
kept
yeah.
going and hit 89.
Yeah.
So I can queue up for some Headless Horseman action.
Yeah, it's not all that, though, is it?
It's the experiences in Headless Horseman are many and varied. It's a very broad spectrum of experiences that you can have in the Headless Horseman. Let me say that. I was going to save this for a funny thing happened on the way to the ding, but we'll stick it in here. You just shuffle it around and just imagine that we played a funny thing happened on the way to the ding. A little bumper here. But I did actually tweet it, and the damage meters. I got into a Headless Horseman run on my monk, and there was a DPS warrior in there. And on the first, you know how it's a three-phase thing with a headless, you've got to basically kill the Headless Horseman three times. On the first run through, killing the Headless Horseman, this warrior was doing over 400,000 DPS.
What?
400,000.
Let me just do my nerf warriors.
It was like 10 times what everyone else was doing. It was unbelievable. And we got him down in, I think it was 54 seconds.
Wow.
Fastest Headless Horseman run ever. It was just like insane. So, and I've been in, I figured, well, you know, he must be in heroic. I mean, he probably was, you know, heroic raiding end game stuff. But DPS warriors at the moment just seem to be, wow, way overpowered. Even on my little 35 warlock, I went in and did that, and we had a warrior in there, and he was doing like 2 to 3 times what I was cranking out on my warlock as well. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're playing a warrior at the moment, yeah, well done. Good luck to you.
I would take advantage of it quickly. because that doesn't sound like it's going to last.
Nerf warriors.
You don't hear much about warriors, though, do you?
You don't, really? No. Yeah. No.
Maybe Blizzard will leave them alone and let them build up a little bit of rep.
They'll turn around and slap them in the next expansion. But,
more than likely.
And then on the flip side of that, I was also running the Headless Horseman on my tank. I'm doing air quotes. Can you see the air quotes?
Okay.
Yeah, this is the tank that I've been running dungeons with you on at 88. And yeah, you know, I'm a terrible tank. I seriously am. And his gear's crappy. You know, most of it's the time of sile stuff, but it's not enchanted. It's not gemmed. You know, I've done nothing to it. And I get in the Headless Horseman as a tank. The fight took 5 minutes and 15 seconds, I think. It was longer than that because it was more than 5 minutes longer than the other run that I did with that warrior. So there's a big difference between spending 54 seconds on a fight and 5 minutes and something on a fight.
In repair costs.
The really sad thing, I was top DPS. On my tank that was doing about 35k DPS, I think.
The majority of people you're seeing in there, they're 89s or they're 90s?
No, they're all 90s. Most of them are 90s. It's pretty rare that you actually see an 89. But I think it's like at the end of the day. When the reset happens, people get on their mains and run it and try and get the horseman. And then during the day, you get their second, third, fourth, 7th, 9th, 11th alt. That's not that well geared. Like my little monk and trying to get stuff in there. But there's been some interesting experiences in there. And basically I was running it mainly on three turns. I was trying to get the healing ring on my monk. And after a few times, I managed to get that. And I was trying to get the agility ring on my hunter. And after a few times, I managed to get that. I thought, I should try and get the tanking ring on my Death Knight.
You're never happy, are you?
No, never happy until I got everything. So I've been running it on my Death Knight, and I run it, and I run it, and I run it, and I run it, and just can't seem to get a tanking ring. And I've got this almost foolproof theory about QQing in guild chat. It's almost an entire topic for another episode of a podcast, and about the implications of it. But I know it's highly superstitious, but if I'm trying to get a quest item or something to drop, or something's not happening that I want to happen, and I'm just trying and trying and trying, it doesn't happen. If I type into guild chat, I'm trying to do blah, 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 and the damn thing won't drop, and then try and do it, it'll happen straight away. So,
do you know what that is, don't you? You know what happens is that you go QQQQQ in guild chat, and I take it you're talking about an AI guild chat, isn't
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So an AI guild chat is probably looking at about 800 people.
Yeah.
Maybe probably more because you're using the green wall.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. A lot of people. And every single one of those people are going, geez, I wish you'd shut up, in their minds. And that amount of negative force is causing the game to change its RNG in order for you to get the thing.
Right.
That's what's happening.
That's one theory.
That's how it's happening.
I've got a couple of other theories. I'll go into it some other time. Otherwise, we'll be here all night.
Okay.
Remind you to ask me. But anyway, so I tried that. Typed in the guild chat, oh, I've been running the Headless Horseman on my Death Knight tank day after day after day, and I can't get the tanking ring to drop. Ran it again, no tanking ring. I went, that's really odd. That, you know, that just doesn't happen. And then it occurred to me, hang on a minute. And I went over to WoWhead and actually looked at the loot tables of what the Headless Horseman drops. And I was expecting to see a ring that had dodge or parry or something like that on it.
Something tanky.
Something tanky. No. There isn't one. There's a strength and stamina ring. That's it. There is no dodge and parry ring.
And you've seen 15 of those.
Yeah, I got bucket loads of those. Yeah. So I felt like a real... That was my Newt moment of the week. I went... Yeah, that probably would have been a good thing. And I probably even knew that 1 year in the past. I must have killed those brain cells.
Yeah, because these things haven't changed. It's not like they used to get tanky.
They just pump up the eye level on them every couple of years. So, yeah, there you go. That's not going to help anybody this year, because by the time you hear this, Hallow's End will be over.
But keep in mind
for next year. Oh, yeah. You might have one more day.
If you pull your finger out and get this edited quickly,
yeah,
it might get a day in a bit.
Yeah.
So no.
Or maybe I'll tweet it. Maybe I'll tweet it. Don't go around the Headless Horseman waiting for your dodge parry ring, because you're going to be waiting a darn long while.
So that doesn't take away from the theory of the QQ.
No, it reinforced it. It reinforced the fact that, hang on a minute, it didn't drop. There's something wrong here. And it was always that twigged in my mind, I should go and look this up. Because my QQing always works.
That's because those 800 people went, geez, mate, use WoWhead.
Yeah,
dude. Well, quit going on about it.
After I figured it out, I did actually ask him in guild chat, you know, oh, duh, guess what? And none of them guessed. None of them came back and said there isn't one. So I didn't feel that.
You're like some Chief Poobah, though, aren't you?
Oh, well, they don't know that. They don't know who my Death Knight is.
Oh, don't they?
No.
Because I, when I used to be an AIE, I was scared to say anything in case I got kicked. Because there were so many rules. I was like, oh, jeez. I better not say anything because I have a tendency to get Tourette's in guild chat. So I would have probably lasted half an hour.
Yeah. If that, probably.
If that.
Yeah. Fair enough. Anywho, well, that's what I've been up to.
Look forward to the theory at some stage.
How about some news, blues, and views? So today, 5.4.1 dropped. Did you read the patch notes?
The incredibly in-depth patch notes?
Oh, yeah. I spent ages on this.
Normally we don't read out patch notes, but this might not be quite so hard.
Yeah, we should probably read it out word for word if I could possibly find them. Won't do that. But basically it said, we fix shit. And that was it.
And we put shit in that we might need later.
We fix shit and we put some shit in there that we're going to use one day.
Yeah.
That was it. Okay. Cool.
I skipped over that because I saw the patch notes and I was like, oh, and then normally I would just start to scroll down and look for anything that affected some of my classes.
Yeah.
But of course, it's like one little mouse turn to clip over the 5.4.1. And I was like, wow, there's tons of... Oh, no, hang on a second. That's something else.
Yeah.
That's
it's, gone, back to the 5.4.
That's 5.4.
Yeah.
Well, there's a new dungeon.
Yeah. And I usually check, I forget what site it is, but it's one of the wikis. There's a, if you Google something like, wow, 5.4 undocumented changes, it brings you to a wiki page that has undocumented changes, funnily enough. So I did that, and that page was blank. And then it linked back to the documented changes, and I clicked that, and it said, we fix shit. Basically, exactly the same sentence. So, okay, all right. But we do know, we do actually know what was in there, don't we? We do know some stuff.
You see, there's two streams of information that we get. There's Blizzard Captain Official information, which will be what we just said. We implemented fixes that could not be addressed with hotfixes, and we added a few small pieces of content.
Yeah.
And then there's the miners, the data miners.
Yeah.
The big one being, of course, Mr. MMO Champion. Now, we've mentioned this in the past 2 weeks, that the recruit friend is currently on hiatus. WAS. Offline, so you can't recruit a friend. Shockingly enough, of course, the forums are absolutely apoplectic about this, and everybody seems to have a friend they've been waiting desperately to recruit.
Oh, yeah.
And they left it till the very last minute.
My friends and decided right this week that you stopped it, that we must start it right now.
If I can't recruit a friend, I'm going to quit.
Oh, I'm quitting this
that
game.
That was quite popular in the forums. If I can't play with other people. But what the fine people at MMO Champion have uncovered is an absolute crap ton of pets and other bits and bobs, including some... They find code, don't they? So they find things like API changes and all the various buckets that data is going to go into.
Ref, and reward, there's loads of them. Bonus, one equals this funky pet.
So there's
pretty good evidence.
There's all sorts of loads and loads of RAF things. So obviously 5.4.1 has loaded up all the stuff that's going to be in the new recruiter friend, because they're going to build a new, or they have already built a new UI. That instead of going to the Battle.net page or your account page, you can do it all in game, as you can now with Scroll of Resurrection, which is good.
Good.
I mean, particularly since it should hopefully be able to show you how many days you've got left and that type of thing. And ideally, although I can't see in the UI that MMO Champion have shown, but hopefully it should also tell you how many levels your character has to give, because that is something the spreadsheet, I need the spreadsheet for.
Right.
Because once you start handing out levels,
once you start putting that stuff in game, you'd expect that sort of information to be right there alongside it, wouldn't you?
Yeah. So I'm looking. I can't necessarily see that, but there's a whole lot of other stuff that they've added. But what they've also uncovered, of course, is some of the new goodies that are going to be available. Hopefully, I mean, I assume, I don't, you know, they've data mined this stuff, so there's a slight chance it's for other things, but I doubt, I imagine it is for the recruiter friend. Because as we mentioned before, currently the system is that you do your recruiter friend, you pay for 2 months, and then the person that recruited you is eligible for a gift.
Fat loots.
Exactly. And in the past, that has been a particular mount, ranging from the original one-seat Zevra to the two-seat Rocket, and then on to the two-seat Obsidian Nightwing. All of them very good mounts and not possible to get in any other way.
Yep.
So very popular, especially with mount collectors. Now, what Blizzard have obviously worked out is that pet battling and pet collecting is
popular.
Pretty popular, yeah. I don't know where they've got this idea from. Maybe from the massive amount of screening that goes on every time a new pet's introduced. So what they've done is, instead of being able to just pick a particular mount as your recruit a friend bonus gift, you can now get a token, which I think and I need to have this confirmed at some later stage, that you then go ahead to some type of vendor and use that token to buy a particular item. And among the items that are data mined are four new pets. And these include, and the pictures, we'll put the link in the show notes, but the pictures include a golden pig, a jade tiger, a Zipal tiger, and a silver pig. Little piglets. Pigs.
Silver pig and looks like they just didn't colour it in.
Silver pig looks like, yeah, it looks like the before picture where they got the artwork going. Now, these pets are not new. What these are pets that were available, only available in Asia. And I think some of them were only available at particular times of year. They were given away as holiday event pets. Ah,
the holiday Pigamageddon. That's the Chinese.
Pigamageddon holiday.
Chinese holiday, Pigamageddon.
Pig Fu, they call it, yeah. So if you've ever gone on to Warcraft Pets and are the type of collector that spends ages looking at all the pets you don't have and will never be able to have, like the ones you get, say, with TCG or get with the original collector's editions.
Well, what you would have noticed, TCG ones, you can get them just by listening to All Pets Allowed and ending competitions.
Indeed, you can. Indeed, you can. I shouldn't have said TCG. I made a mistake. I apologize. But other pets which you weren't able to get are these Asian ones because you're not Asian.
Hmm.
And you weren't around during the holidays, even if you had been Asian.
Yeah, I rang them up and said, ni hao. And they said, no, you can't have it. I'm like, oh, bugger.
Give me pet. And now you can by doing recruit a friend. Very good. The smart thing, of course, well, it depends on which side of the particular bank account you're sat on. The smart thing from Blizzard's point of view is you can only get one of them. So you only get one pet per...
That's all right. Just do four rats. Friend.
Exactly. And I would imagine, I can see, particularly people even within our own small group of friends, who will think to themselves, what is it now? It's $15, it's $30, $35 because you're going to have to buy yourself the battle chest, initial battle chest. $35 for a golden pig or jade tiger, Zipal tiger or silver pig. Yeah, I could probably do that.
Plus some fast leveling of alts because we're all altaholics.
Yeah, but Will, this is the thing, of course, is that if you're recruiting yourself, then you know, you not only do you have to do fast leveling of alts, you're going to have to do some multi-boxing. And I imagine quite a few people will say, I cannot do multi-boxing. What should happen, hopefully, is that people get their heads around this and get together with those people that will want the pet.
What? And you mean a real friend?
Real friends, yeah. They're real people.
Should they call it RARF? Recruit a real friend.
A real friend. They should, yeah. Actually, you probably should get an achievement for that. This may not be you. This may be a different person. I have real friends. Not only that, not only are there these four, I think, relatively magnificent pets, but there's also a new mount, which is called the Emerald Hippogriff.
Now that, to me, looked like a single-seater mount.
It is a single-seater mount.
WTF.
Which is a bit weird, because it's a bit of a step backwards.
After the two-seater rocket, who's going to want that? Another bloody hippogriff.
This is the thing, though.
That seems it's pretty lame to good. Me. That seems it's lazy and good. Lame.
No, shush you. It's not lazy and lame. Because what Blizzard are also allowing you to do is go back and choose any one of the original mounts, including the single-seater Zevra, or the two-seater Rocket, or the two-seater Obsidian Nightwing. Now, if you've already got those, everybody's got them on your account, so it doesn't matter. You don't want another two-seater Rocket.
No.
But you may well want a single-seater Emerald Hippogriff. So it's not so awful. If you're doing a quick phone for the very first time...
I think they should be able to tell that you're actually chaining three together and giving you a three-seater mount.
I certainly would agree that there is going to be a need at some stage to have a three-seater flying mount, because currently only ground mounts such as the Tundra Mammoth and so on, they'd have three seats. I would certainly, definitely do it with another equipment friend for a three-seater mount, because that would solve a heck of a lot of problems.
Oh, yeah.
My own personal view on this is that I will be absolutely cock-a-hoop and that is a word. Look it up on Google. Right. Cock, just type it, the whole thing in, do the dashes in between, because otherwise you get some really nasty pictures. But I would be absolutely cock-a-hoop if it lets me go back and all those that I've yet to claim give me a token. Because that case, true, on the very first day, I'll be able to get every pet, yeah, and the hippogriff and still have many spares.
Cage them. Make a fortune. No, they won't let you cage those, will they?
My hoop would be cocked, to be honest, if that was if that were the case. But of course, that won't be the case, because that would be too cool. It would be fantastic if you could give the Emerald Hippogriff onto the auction house as well. But anyway, that's not going to happen. But if they let you do that, then I'll be absolutely over the moon.
Mm.
I think the least I can expect is that the two that I've currently got running will allow me to use the token, in which case I'll get the Hippogriff and one of the pets. I don't know yet. Now, whether this incentive of these pets will make me want to do another recruit a friend in the short term, I don't know. Because there comes a point where it starts to become a little bit ridiculous. And I think, to be honest, that point is in the rear view mirror, and I've been driving away from it for some time. So I don't know if I'll be doing a recruit a friend again. But
let me propose this to you. What if, my friend, that the new recruiter friend lets you get to level 85?
Well, you see, now this is the thing. Because actually what happened is when the original goal or the original recruit friend limit was 60, I'd done as many 60s as I was ever going to do. And I was like, that's it, I've done it. I'm never going to do a recruit friend again.
Hmm.
And then, of course, they came along not only with the level 80 bonus, but they came along with the two-seater rocket.
Yeah.
And so all bets were off. It was back to doing multiple recruit friends. So 85, The thing, of course, is that the movement, the leveling from what is in effect 82 to 85 of the current recruit friends is not that hard.
Right.
So you'd have to question the timing necessary to do that and the benefits being able to go all the way to 85. Although I guess if they carried on using the same system they currently have, it would be 87. Effectively,
yep,
if you could do the same trick, but still, that leveling is not hard. 80 to 85 has to be about the easiest leveling now.
Oh, really? Okay,
I would say so.
I'm sure they've all got their thinking caps on and they're going to come up with something that's going to make you go, I have to do that.
I mean, so far, they haven't mentioned a raise in the cap. Although, it wouldn't be beyond them to do that.
Yeah, at this point in an expansion that's level 90, I'd kind of be surprised if they actually reintroduced it and they didn't raise the cap to 85.
That alone would not necessarily make me want to come back.
Oh, fair enough.
Say is that that doesn't mean that I wouldn't be up for running with someone who just wanted the bonus XP.
Yeah.
There's that possibility. Oh, there's also, I'm looking at some of the buckets. Raff button, tooltip description. You can recruit a friend and earn fantastic rewards. Anyway. Yes, moving on. Sorry.
Day of the Dead. Day of the Dead is the one day after the end of the Hallows End. Have you indulged yourself in Day of the Dead in previous years?
I've tried. I've seen the various things going on in graveyards.
There's not a whole lot to it. In previous years, you basically get a macabre marionette that follows you around for the day and then it disappears. And rumour is that this year, that marionette's going to become a permanent pet.
How strong a rumour is this?
It's confirmed that it is going to become a permanent pet. It's assumed that it will be this year's Day of the Dead.
Okay.
I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be.
So it makes sense, doesn't it?
Makes perfect sense, yeah. But again, it's a one-day event, so unless you log in on that day, no pet for you.
So, is it a relatively easy pet to get?
Oh yeah. If assuming that you get it the same way that you get the marionette as that, I can't remember what you do, but I mean it's dead easy. It's kind of like Pirate's Day where you go down and wave at somebody and they go, oh, here you go.
Have yourself a pet.
Yeah, have yourself a pet.
1,000 gold. Mm. There you go, mate. Jolly. Be on your way.
Yeah. So, that'll be fun. Be interesting to see if they give it any unique abilities and what kind of pet it will be. So,
would that be this Saturday coming then?
I believe it is.
Wow, okay.
Mm. Or close to it. It's going to be this weekend, so stick it in your diaries. Don't forget to be logging into WoW this weekend for your Day of the Dead.
And isn't that also the Dartmoor Fair this weekend?
Oh, are we back around to that already?
We are, yeah.
Wow. I've actually been, after I heard Lita talking about getting the, I'm going to have to go look up what it was now, but there's a thing you can buy from the Darkmoon Fair that gives you extra rep for an hour. And I've got all those eggs. Remember those eggs I told you that dropped off Hulon that I went out to the Cloud Serpents and handed them in to get rep?
One on your 90, yeah. They already got all the full vet.
Yeah. So I've actually got a bunch more eggs and was going to do it on a show who's not exalted with them. And then I thought, ooh, hang on a minute. That thing that Lita talked about that you can buy from the Darkmoon Fair that gets you extra rep. I'm sure that'll stack. So I've been sitting on them waiting for the Darkmoon Fair to come back again. And I'll go and do that. Yes, you're right. Darkmoon Fair this weekend.
It's all picking up.
And it's actually they extended it this year. So Day of the Dead actually starts Friday. I'm not sure if this is server time or my time. Friday, 11 a.m.
It's never your time.
Through to Sunday, 11 a.m. Oh, so it's more than a day.
It's a weekend of the dead.
Weekend of the dead. So there you go. That's even stronger evidence that the pet is going to be available because they've extended the day that you can do that.
I think people would be pretty gutted if it was just, say, the Saturday, and they have that's one day they can't play.
Yeah, you'll log in at 11:05 on Sunday and go, oh, God.
Talking of pets, I'm really liking the look of this Merkalot, which is the BlizzCon reward pet. You seen this, dude?
I have seen it. I have taken a close look, but
He's got like a shield and a flail, and he's wearing like a proper knight's helmet.
So that reminds me, actually, I do need to. It's BlizzCon coming up fast. Wow, need to get me a virtual ticket.
A few days, isn't it? 8 days or something.
Yeah,
it's just around the corner. Hopefully,
there'll be Newsapalooza next week then.
Well, I'm going to say sister podcast. Actually, I should really say our mother podcast, Control or WoW, is running a competition at the moment to win a level 25 Ancient Blossom or Blossoming Ancient, leveled by the Fair Hands of Pixie Girl. And their question is, what are you looking forward to hearing about from BlizzCon? I believe that's the question. And in the two shows prior to BlizzCon actually kicking off, if you send in an email to control.wow@gmail.com, telling the fine ladies over there what you are looking forward to hearing about at BlizzCon, you've got a chance of winning a level 25. And this is the important thing. Not only is it a Blossoming Ancient, but it's a level 25 Blossoming Ancient, already pre-leveled. Then there you go.
Very nice. Well, worth.
Yeah.
An extra special because of who leveled it.
Exactly. Mm. Leveled by the Fair Hands of Pixie Girl herself.
Nice, Pixie.
You're buying the virtual ticket because you're actually going to sit and watch all of the stuff, or are you going to buy it because you want this gorgeous pet?
Bit of both.
Yeah.
I will try and watch as much as I can, schedule permitting.
Yeah, I was going to say to the wife that maybe we shouldn't call a vet for the cat because this virtual ticket is going to cost me a little bit of money, so will the vet. But I'm not sure how that will play out, to be
Yeah,
honest.
I'm not sure that'll go down too well.
I'm not 100% sure if I'll be buying the virtual ticket. We'll see how that goes. I do like the look of the pet, though.
Yeah, it does look good.
It's time for new to
Leet.
So it has been a challenge to drag you away from your RAF.
I don't know why you bother.
I don't know why you bother. I wonder myself.
You have all that effort to get me kicking and screaming away from my recruit friend teams, and then I just spend the entire dungeon whining about the fact that I could be doing other things and I should also be level 90 by now if I wasn't doing this stupid dungeon.
Yeah.
And my DPS is piss poor. I'm contributing nothing but QQ. I don't understand why you keep doing it.
I like hearing you say things like, we were recording it and I could go and dig it out, but you said something along the lines to, I enjoyed that. It didn't feel like a stressful dungeon.
Yes, that's true. That's because somebody was there.
That's reward enough for me, mate.
Yeah. That was good. That's because we spent the whole time talking while the tank did all the fighting.
No, you did very well. We did Gate of the Setting Sun, which was, a dungeon that not many of us had run very much. And
it was one of those ones where we all go in and everybody goes, apart from me, obviously, who'd never seen it. I really hadn't ever seen it. Oh, I remember this one. Then it also slowly come back to you.
That's right. Get it. We get it eventually. And the last boss in that dungeon has a rather interesting mechanic in that you basically can do no damage to him until you kill his weak spot.
And it's a big bug.
Yeah, it's a big bug. And you can only kill the weak spot if you're actually up on the bug. So you need to launch yourself with a cannon and shoot yourself up onto the bug and start whacking away at this weak spot. And I thought, oh, that's, you know, Jeppy's just down on the ground QQing. We'll send up the other two DPS. And
he's already got a job. Yeah. He's got to QQ about the dungeon. Right.
Lo and behold.
Taking all his time.
Lo and behold, he's launched himself up there and he's whacking away and doing his bit and enjoying it. And you were
fantastic,
the full
actually.
Bottle, mate.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you a little secret, which I didn't tell you while we were doing the dungeon. Before the fight started, I used one of those cannons before the bug even arrived, and it threw me up back onto the wall. You know, like we had to jump down.
Yeah.
And you said, oh, there's an easy way to do this, but you can jump down and take the, you know, we'll heal you when you get to the bottom kind of thing. You don't need to worry about the fact that you're losing a ton of health by jumping down. Now, it threw me back up there. The fight kicked off, and you were like, hang on a second, where's
Jeppy?
Where's Kushti? I was on the wall watching you fight. And I thought, oh, geez, I better jump down because otherwise I'm going to get told off.
Yeah, that's right.
I jumped down, lost a ton of health, got hit once by whatever was going on in the fight and died. You're like, oh, no, we lost Kushti. I didn't even make a hit. I didn't do anything. I lost all that health jumping down. And then
good Lord.
One hit and died. So there you go. So if you use the cannons prior to the fight, it just chucks you right back up at the top of the wall.
Right. Jumping
just
off
a
the
little
walls.
Tip.
Just jumping off the wall is not a brilliant idea. So
no.
We did actually wipe because none of us could actually figure out what the hell was going on the first time around.
So I think
Wingy could have actually soloed it and I said, nah, just wipe it, mate.
Because
Kushti's dead. Kushti's dead and he needs to to suck it up.
Everybody died.
That's right.
Oh, I see what you mean. Because I was dead and you didn't want me to miss the actual fight.
That's it.
Just to lay there watching TV while you did the fight.
Let me know when
But
he's
I
dead.
Tell you what, that jumping up onto the weak spot was, I love that. But, and it reminds me of the Starship Troopers, isn't it? That's pretty much where they've taken that from. Yeah. Remember Starship Troopers?
Yeah.
That's
cool.
Where he has to jump up and then he cracks the weak spot on the head and he throws in a grenade and jumps down. But that's cool. I like that mechanic. That's a nice, a relatively straightforward mechanic, you know, once you get the hang of it.
Yeah, but a little bit different. So,
yeah, I like that.
Well, that's the unique feel of it.
But you're right, Wingy could have taken that. I think
his bear would have taken a while. Ridiculous. But yeah, he was. I wasn't having to do much healing. I'll tell you, I was trying to figure out if I could actually crank out any DPS on my Healy Monk.
Yeah, that was
fun.
And it felt really epic as well. I mean, the bug is massive.
Oh, yeah.
And, and it does this head, because not only are you up there knocking out the weak spot and trying, you know, you can't stay up there because what the thing does is it runs into the wall,
knocks you off.
Now, am I right in thinking that bug is the one that you see from the other side of the wall while you're leveling? Or it's similar?
Yeah. There's bugs like that around. There's even a bug like that in Throne of Thunder.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. Okay. Is it Throne of... getting my raids mixed up now. No, it wasn't Throne of Thunder. It was the first one. It was Mogoshan Palace, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. But I do know that... I can't remember which area it is, but you do actually do that as part of a quest where you throw yourself on top of the bug and have to sort of attack it. You get thrown by one of these big...
Well, there's a Klaxi daily where you ride one and you actually ride it around and use it to attack other mobs.
That's
pretty
fun. There's a lot of bugs.
Yeah. Lots of good bugs dungeon. Over in Klaxi Lane. I enjoyed that dungeon. And we did. We have been running some Lobi runs on our little warlocks, and you really bit the bullet on this one, and you pulled out a mage, mate.
I know. Although.
Because you're all over the place in levels. You hadn't leveled up your 26 up to 30. You're taking your mages up to 40. You're too low and too high.
I know. Mm. It was like Goldilocks. There was no perfect middle. Yeah. I didn't mind going on the 40 mage because they're going to be the last team that I level. I don't know what I'm going to do with them, to be honest. They're probably going to get Wrath levels. I'm not sure yet. But I went on the mage. Wasn't in too much danger because I think I was well out leveled by.
Yeah, I think pretty much everything would have been nice and green to you.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
So I was taking
you
elites on my own.
So if you look at the specific dungeon list, you see that some dungeons are listed as Kushti's too high for this, and some other dungeons was Molly's too low for this. But there was like two or three dungeons where. It hit the sweet spot and we're all eligible for it. So I thought I'll queue up at random so we can at least get the satchel of helpful spoils. So I flicked it back to random and went queue, and everybody picks their role and it says the selected dungeon you don't meet the requirements for the selected dungeon. I'm like, well, it's random. You see what levels we are. You know what we're eligible for. What are you picking that dungeon for? Pick one that we're eligible for. And I tried it like three times, and all the time it kept saying, you're not eligible. So I ended up having to actually pick a specific dungeon and miss out on the extra XP and the satchel.
There was extra XP. There's extra XP if you go random.
Yeah.
Oh, if you. Just never told me that.
So you're lucky you missed out on that one. So your RAF tune didn't get even further out ahead. But I was persisting on my little warlock as a demonology warlock, and I was getting frustrated as hell because my DPS was terrible compared to everyone else in the group, and I'm using spell flash, so I'm trying to get the right rotation for what's going on, but because everyone else is doing such awesome DPS and all my spells feel so crappy and take forever to cast. I mean, Shadow Bolt, 2.5 seconds of Shadow Bolt. I can only get one Shadow Bolt off because by the time I get the other one starts to go off, the mob's dead. And the only other thing I've got is Corruption. Which is a dot. So it's not like you can do that over and over. And the whole shuffle of your demonic fury just doesn't feel like it works that well at a low level. So it really feels like demonology warlocks at a low level are pretty piss poor, is my feeling. I just wasn't enjoying it at all. And even if you, when you get to level, I forget what level it was, but it's such that when you switch to metamorphosis and you're in demon form, you get touch of chaos, which is an instant spell. But then it feels really weird because you're toggling between this, you know, an instant spell and corruption to try and build it back up again. And you know, it doesn't feel like you're doing much damage. And it's not like you can crank out your bloody 4 second soul fires. I mean, soul 4 seconds, nothing's alive for 4 seconds at this level. So you're never going to get a soul fire off.
But your demonology, so your pet is supposed to be doing DPS.
Well, I get a pet in destruction. I get a pet in all classes, so...
Yeah, I know, but your pet gets all sorts of extra things because you're a demonologist.
Okay.
Including later on being an uber pet as opposed to the normal bog standard pet.
Right.
So it's like a hunter that goes with beast mastery. The hunter's shots are not as lethal because the pet is supposed to be doing a lot of damage.
Okay.
That's the whole point.
Well,
but
I mean,
you know what I do? Shall I tell you what I do?
All right.
I chuck off a shadow bolt.
Yep.
And assuming that all my dots, my corruption is still up, then I siphon life.
Right.
Or I drain life, I should say.
Drain life, yeah.
Because, yeah, you get to level 7. Because although it's not doing uber damage, it is doing a steady amount of damage.
Mm.
And also it's recovering from whatever I got hit with during the fight.
Yeah. And it's generating demonic fury.
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, once I've got enough demonic fury, I can just switch into that and go for other things.
Go crazy like that. Yeah.
But it's on my, it's my third button. It's my third button attack.
Yeah.
After the dot and the shadow bolt.
Shadow bolt, yeah. But I guess it, you know, maybe if you weren't running with groups that are OP and killing stuff quickly, and you had more of a chance. I mean, it's better on boss fights where the bosses live a bit longer. But without an exaggeration, as soon as I hit, is it 30 or 35? When do you get dual spec? 30? I don't know.
Fourth.
As soon as I got dual spec, I went and dual spec'd, and
at 40 you get it, don't you?
No. It's
earlier.
It's like 30 or 35.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I'm dual spec'd already. So I went and switched to destruction on my dual spec, and went and ran a dungeon on that. Double the DPS that I was doing in demonology. Double.
Yeah. So I think the thing is, it's not
just my feeling. That's, I mean, it seriously is.
Yeah, but I tell you what it is, and it's because you're not controlling your pet properly.
Okay.
Your pet has all these special abilities, which it will use given enough time.
Mm.
But actually, what people don't do is they don't chuck in their pet special abilities when it's most optimal. And that will get a chuck of DPS as well.
All right. Well, so I'll go back and I'll put a bit more focus on my pet.
That's not a bad thing. I think some people prefer all their upfront spells and their ability to do DPS to be solely based around their character and not necessarily the pet.
Sure.
Which is fair enough. It's a certain style of play.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do look at your, especially, I mean, I think even more so with the hunter, if you do spend some time learning what the optimal way to use your pet is, your DPS will skyrocket, or your combined DPS will skyrocket anyway.
Well, maybe it's the issue at this stage is that either I'm using the wrong pet or the pet doesn't have the abilities yet. Because that was something we were talking earlier about. How they've shuffled around when you get stuff, and I don't remember actually leveling my warlock. I mean, when I leveled my warlock, you had to do the grimoires to teach your pet stuff and go back to your trainer all the time. And
Yeah.
You know, it was a complete nightmare. And now that, you know, playing a max level warlock and your pets have just got all of their abilities, you just take it for granted that, that they have all their abilities when you learn them. And that's not the case. The first thing I noticed was you when you get your succubus, it doesn't have seduce.
Yeah, which is kind of what a succubus is supposed to do.
Seduce until level 26.
Yeah.
Which I found odd. And I forget what there was another example as well where my imp didn't get something until, it might have been my Voidwalker actually, didn't get something until a later level. So, you know, they're even drip feeding you the abilities of your pets rather than, you know, giving your pet all those abilities. So maybe at a low level, a demonology warlock pets don't have all the abilities they need to, you know, to help you get a decent DPS.
Yeah, this is true enough. Mm. I mean, later on when you get your Felguard has a ton of stuff which it would use. I mean, that's about 40-42.
And something that I hadn't actually noticed because I didn't use them or take too much notice of pets, you should actually go through and look at your pet's abilities a bit closer. The succubus, for example, the seduction is actually now an auto cast. I have no idea how long this has been for, but it was like if someone attacks you, their auto cast is to try and seduce them. So, for me, you know, way back then, casting seduce was always a manual thing to crowd control something. And now it's like, well, if something tries to attack you, they'll stun you or silence you or anything, that they're going to try and seduce it. So that's pretty cool.
You can turn it off, can you? I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically got that same shimmering icon as your growl for your pet does, so that you can turn off stuff like that. So if you're like me and you've got all your warlock pets and you haven't taken a good close look at your pet tab and what they can do, you might want to go back and find you might be a bit surprised about what they do nowadays.
Yeah, because I think it's the Felguard. I hadn't used it for a while, and obviously it goes in, does a bit of ass kicking, and then it comes back in. You sort of think, oh, okay, it's done its job. But it does all sorts of things, like it can disarm. But it won't do that unless you do it. You make it do it.
Yeah. That's I forget what they call it. There's actually a spell that's like make your pet do its most powerful attack thingy.
Which is great because you can just put that on one button.
Yeah, and then I've actually got that on my action bar, and it just changes depending on what pet you've got out. So yeah, that's a good one to pull out for sure.
It's interesting, though. I like the idea that you are... I mean, the fact that you didn't go, ugh, DPS sucks, like I'm moving on. But you are going to have a look back and see where...
I'll toggle back and forth. Try and figure out, you know, what's what. See how it changes through the leveling process. I'm sure obviously it does, because they're all pretty viable in endgame. So, you know, it must change through the leveling process as you get different things. It's so difficult to balance at max level, let alone, you know, I fully don't expect all the different specs to be balanced through the leveling process.
No, but, it's not possible.
No, it's
like you said, it's hard enough to do it.
Much too hard. Much too hard a job.
When everybody has everything, it's hard enough to do it.
Mm. Indeed.
And now let's dive into the forums.
What's going on in those scary, deep, dark forums over there, mate?
Well, I went in again. I'm trying to avoid the forums. I wanted to go in and see what their reaction was to the recruiter friend, because there's always a split reaction. One of them is, well, I haven't got loads of money to give Blizzard. That's not fair. I want the pet. I want the mount. I don't understand why I've got to pay another $15 a month for 2 months. And it's that side of things.
Yep.
And then there's just one post that has squee. Obviously, the people that do have a little bit of wealth folding cash and they can spend it on that. Now, what is this? You've put something in the show notes.
I've put something in there as well. We were talking earlier about the connected realms. And you know, whether what problems that solves for Blizzard, and they've actually have been doing quite a bit of realm connecting over the last week or so.
Yeah, gone crazy.
It appeared to me, anecdotally, that there was some problems with that over the last 36 hours or so, because a whole bunch of servers went offline, and I know at least a couple of those were realms that they were connecting.
Some were absolutely had nothing to do with them whatsoever. And you wonder, somebody went, oh, okay, so we're connecting such to such, and they mistyped the name of the realm. And then just pulled in the completely random realm that had to go down as well. And it was like, what? That's got nothing to do with it.
Yeah, it's probably sitting in the same server chassis or something.
Sucks to be you. Oh, dear. There's probably a big red wire. When you get the connected realms, there's a red wire that has to be connected to both of them. And it's around the back, and it's all dusty, and then...
So I thought I'd go and stick my nose in and just get a feel for whether people on these connected realms were saying, you know, that are they on the side of the, oh, I don't like this, or were they on the side of this is great now, squee!
Squee!
And instead of finding an answer to that question, what I found was threads on a very robust and passionate discussion about queue times that have cropped up since 5.4. So I know that Blizzard aren't doing it, and I don't know, there's obviously some crackpots that think they must be combining full realms with the empty ones and making it even worse. And clearly they're not doing that. I mean, got more sense than that, but apparently there's a bunch of realms that for some inexplicable reason have developed login queue times since 5.4 dropped, and you know, the tin foil theorists say, well, we didn't even have these queues when MOP dropped. You know, is Blizzard trying to tell us that 5.4 as a content patch is even more popular than MOP itself? You know, they find that hard to believe.
This is why they're doing it. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah. So Blizzard, you know, Blizzard must be doing something. They've broken something behind the scenes, and you know, they're doing it deliberately to try and, you know, force us off onto these medium pop realms that they want to combine and do connected and balance it all out. And it's like, wow, that wasn't what I expected to find, but apparently that things aren't all happy down at the ranch in terms of poor old Blizzard trying to sort out balancing all of their realm acts. So they've got people bashing them from both ends. They've got the people bashing them for dead realms that need to be connected, all the way through to realms that are full and have... like 2+ hour queue times. Can you imagine trying to log into Earthen Ring at peak times and having to wait for 2 hours? Oh my god!
No, I would never log out.
Exactly.
I'd have my characters running against the wall for 24 hours a day.
I'm shocked that, you know, queue times are still a thing. I thought they'd solved that long ago, but no, apparently not.
I can't. Who are these realms? What are these realms?
I didn't make a note of them, but was it Draenor?
I mean, I can understand Draenor, bloody hell. I can understand, like, the huge, ridiculous-sized realms where not only is it incredibly popular, but it's also popular just on one faction.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, so 8,000 people are trying to log in to Ogrimmar at the same time.
Mm.
But...
yeah, the unbalanced realms would be even worse.
Yeah. But the amount of weirdness that goes on in the forums. At what stage does somebody sit at Blizzard going, I know what we'll do. We'll make this game less enjoyable to play by exactly. making them sit in a queue for 2 hours.
Yep.
And that'll make them spend some more money to transfer a character over to a medium pop valve. Yeah. I don't know.
Can't imagine.
Don't think that's going to be happening.
Can't imagine any of that's happening.
No. But so apart from finding lots of things that you didn't expect to find, Connected Realms going smoothly, do you think?
I think so. Anecdotally, don't have any hard evidence on that.
The
more to the point is we're not seeing the obvious screams of terror and horror and woe is me that's now connected and everything's broken. So I think to not be seeing that is probably a good enough indication that it's going pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, the only one that will affect me, maybe, I don't know if it affects you really, but is Winterhoof. I think that's the only one that's on the list for connection. And that's in the next wave, I think.
Right.
Connecting to Kilrog. Don't know much about Kilrog.
Nope. Haven't played on Kilrog.
No,
I was kind of sad Kilrog. To see my original realm, Dune Maul, getting connected. So obviously poor old Dune Maul's gone by the wayside.
Well, some connections are just one to one, but some are like five or six.
Yeah, it's like, holy cow, those realms must be super dead.
I wonder, they have to, at some stage, they have to look at, there has to be at least a semi-popular realm in that mix, because otherwise you're connecting five dead realms together, which in the end may give you a little bit of extra population, but chances are it's going to give you five dead realms as opposed to one dead realm. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they do it, but I'm sure they've got all their statistics and their ducks lined up in a row.
It'd be interesting to see maybe in 6 months' time what the feedback is, as opposed to now while it's still hot, still going on, and there are people getting used to the auction houses and the difference in farming and stuff. That must be quite a big effect if you've had it the whole realm to yourself for the last 8 years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden there's other people.
It'd be great if what you love doing was farming and you're going out and doing lots of mining and making yourself sky golems and your friends and stuff, and now you turn around and you're on a medium to high pop server and you're fighting 10 million other people for mining nodes, you're probably not going to be all that happy. So I'm sure there's a percentage of people that enjoy playing on a dead realm and are going to be pissed off about it.
There's always a double-edged sword to that, because not only if you have a market to yourself, that's fantastic, but if you don't have any customers, that's not so fantastic. So it's a bit a weird situation.
Mm, true.
But interesting to see, as I say, in a few months' time, how it's all gone. Hopefully Blizzard
If we've got listeners out there that have been impacted by Connected Realms,
slammed together,
positively or negatively, that you want to give some feedback, we'd love to hear from you.
You know what time it is. That's right. It's Ask ANJ.
You know, we have actual...
I'm not sure why I did it like that, because, we've got a bumper.
We actually have got bumpers.
Yeah.
Seems to make all the work Lita did redundant if you keep getting weird bumpers with your mouth.
I'll cut that out and then people will be going, what's he mean? What's he mean? I don't understand. He didn't say anything odd.
Yes. Yeah. Make me look stupid. Good. Yeah. That's good. Good. That's normally what I do when I edit.
Maybe I'll cut this bit out as well. right.
Fair enough.
We got an email from Big Andrew? Steve.
Steve-o.
Steve-o. We like to call him. Oh, by the way, I should mention I did get a whisper from Anastasia during the week where he said... Where he said my assumptions were correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I assume he meant the first assumption. Maybe she meant the second assumption where my first assumption... never mind. Would you like to read...
Are you saying that she's a dude?
Dude looks like a lady.
Okay, here we go. Big Steve's email. Good day to you, geeks. I guess he means you. Geek and that normal guy. If you ever decide to include Boomkin in your Noob to Elite segment, I would like to offer my services as the noob. Ah. I can play all my character class roles somewhat convincingly, and though I will probably never be an heroic raider, I'm generally pretty good at making stuff dead. That's always useful. Hmm. My hunter is very huntery. My warlock is getting more warlock-ish every day, and my mage is so OP, I just mash buttons and my DPS skyrockets.
Nice.
Actually, I need some of that. He should be the elite for me to do a mage. However, as a DPS class, I think my Boomy has done more total damage to mining nodes than he has ever done to any mobbing game. That's cool. The rotation is not particularly complex, and managing the eclipse mechanic is not beyond my capabilities. I hate that mechanic. But for some reason, the number of euphemisms for how badly I suck at the class are plentiful and varied. As I know that Asheo is the recognized master of the druid in all its forms, I was hoping for some assistance, some insight into why druidic success continues to elude me. At 502 eye level, I'm doing about 48k to the draining dummies, and I'm too embarrassed to disclose my damage done in a fight with any movement whatsoever. I've tested my rotation against Spellflash, and I'm doing better than its suggestions, but not substantially more. Please help me, my dear hosts. You are my only hope. Big Steve.
Oh, Steve. If we're only hope, then I'm sorry to say you're beyond hope.
There's three hopes, mate, and one of them's Bob.
No, I am not the recognized master of druids in all its form. I've attempted to play druids in all their forms, but the only one that I feel I can play with any quality at all is the resto. And I'm in well and truly in your court there, where I just cannot make the Boomkin spec viable as a DPS. I agree with you entirely. I've done exactly that. I just don't understand how people crank it out. And I've theorized previously about, I think that, and I don't know what your latency like, but my latency compared to being in the US is pretty sucky. I've theorized that Boomkin DPS really requires you to have very low latency to the servers. So if there is a Boomkin druid out there that can provide both Big Steve and myself some
and
advice
me.
On how we can do some significant, and it does require significant improvement on the balanced druid, would love some input.
I mean, are you seeing high numbers generally from Boomkins, or is it?
I have seen Boomkins do high numbers for sure. Yep. And I've.
It's not a class thing. It's an actual play style or rotation thing.
It's either playing style, or you know, maybe I'm weighting the stats wrong in terms of, you know, crit mastery hastes, or I'm not sitting at the right points, or you know, the your basic, I mean, spell flash can be pretty basic. I'm sure that there's much more optimal and well-timed ways of cracking out your DPS. There are quite a few cooldowns that druids can use, and some of those come from talent choices, so that, you know, that's going to play into it as well, and when you use your cooldowns in fights. So it kind of sounds simple, but I guess it goes without saying, really, given that both Steve and I are struggling with it, and I don't think, you know, either of us are particularly stupid people. It goes without saying that.
Well, Steve's not. I mean, come on.
Boomkin druid. a bit more complicated than what it might appear on the surface.
Well, it is a big fat chicken. Mm. I mean, there's that. Yeah. You know, that's.
Flaps
I'm playing around. Boomkin. On the RAF team, on the Druid RAF team, I tried using Feral for a while, but it's actually quite hard to do that on free.
Yeah, you're melee.
I need a bit DPS-y.
Bit yucky.
But, of course, it does make a huge difference because there's three of them, so DPS is fine.
Bam! You're dead. Yeah. But I mean, if I'm out in the Timeless Isle in Boomkin spec, it'd take me forever to kill an elite by myself. I wouldn't even bother trying. I'll multi-box with my shaman, who's not geared anywhere near as well eye level wise as my druid, and my shaman just rips through stuff.
Yeah, so. Interesting. I'll be looking forward to hearing that as well. So we're looking for Boomkin experts.
Yep, indeedly doodly. Thanks, Big Steve. Great question.
Yeah, very good. And actually, an incredibly funny email. Thank you.
Yes.
I've done more DPS on mining nodes.
Well, then clearly his druid must be a troll, because if he's a tauren druid and he's not doing herbalism, then he's playing the game wrong.
Something seriously wrong there. Yeah.
Seriously wrong. Might be his problem there.
Yeah, maybe he's been punished for that choice.
Well, I'm a herbalist, and I'm getting punished as well, so that doesn't add up.
I want to start a herbalist just so I can use my fantastic new mount.
Yeah.
My sky.
Skyrims. Well, there we go. We've reached the end of another episode.
Episode 8.
Ain't it great?
Weirdly enough, there's 8 weeks till Christmas.
Oh, God, don't tell me that. That means I'm going to have to start doing Christmas shopping in 7.5 weeks.
I'm going to do my Christmas shopping in 9 weeks when the January sales
win. The sales.
I mess about.
Yeah.
I say to the kids that, you know, we're Christmafarians and we celebrate on January the 5th.
I like your style. You I like it.
Yeah. So, hopefully we'll be back next week for episode 9.
I hope so too. Might be a few days late, but we'll try and stick to our religious Wednesday schedule.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Unless there's maintenance on Tuesday, in which case I'll just record something on Tuesday.
I tell you what was really annoying was that I desperately wanted to do a dungeon this Tuesday. I tagged you and I said, listen, come look at the dungeon. And, service went down. Yeah.
Listeners, Jeppy rarely asks or suggests that we do things. So he IM'd me when the server countdown was under 2 minutes, saying, got a hankering to run a dungeon. Can we whip a quick one out? Yeah.
No. I tried.
Yeah, jeez. Sure you tried. That does not count.
I did my bet.
I'm not putting that down in the ledger of you attempted to initiate a dungeon. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, well. We'll say bye for now and see how we get on next week.
All righty. Have a great week, listeners.
Bye.
You've just skipped to the end of WoW Geekly. Well, hopefully you didn't skip all the way and enjoyed something of what we said this week. If so, let us know. If not, let us know that too. How, you ask? Well, you're all clever and discerning people and can probably take a darn good guess, but I'll spell it out anyway. Find us on the interwebs at wowgeekly.com or over on Twitter, where, wait for it, at wowgeekly. Follow the lads directly on at Asheo and at LJeppy. Or if you have a hankering to write us more than 140 characters, email us wowgeekly@gmail.com. Please subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher, or if you're really into oversubscribing, do both. Upload complete.